Today's reading comes from John 10, verses 1 to 21, and that can be found on page 1076. John 10, verses 1 to 21, page 1076. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He has brought out all his own. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This is a command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. As Alex said, my name is Judy, and I'm just going to introduce this passage to you. And after we've had coffee, Alex will talk about it in a bit more depth. Okay. So, in the reading today, Jesus describes himself as a good shepherd. Now, what do you think of when you hear the term a good shepherd? Interesting one. There must have been bad ones. Well, do you think of this man? Oh. Sam's noticed that I'm about to lose the battery pack. About to be a disaster. Right, so this is Adam Henson from Country File. You might see now. The shepherds now perhaps go around on their quad bikes, rushing around. Do they actually know their sheep? It's perhaps a bit more impersonal. Simon and I remember going to visit some friends in Cornwall who owned a farm. And the reaction was, well, you know, we know the cows and we really know them, but the sheep, yeah. They're a bit of, you know, a law unto themselves, really. Or perhaps, like me, I remember watching this when I was younger, One Man and His Dog, the amazing skill of driving the sheep from using a dog. But again, this doesn't show that relationship, does it, that's talked about in the passage. Now, I don't know how well you can see this, I apologise. This is a picture of a shepherd from the earliest 20th century. His name was William Shute. He was born in 1866, died in the early 1930s, and he was a shepherd, firstly in Wiltshire, and then he moved to between Portsmouth and Petersfield. For him to be a good shepherd meant spending weeks leaving his large family. He had 14 children. And during lambing time, he would leave them, and he would go and sleep in a hut with perhaps you've seen these shepherd's huts. They're now quite trendy to have in your gardens. Go and do your writing in them or whatever. There you are, Simon, when you go to write your memoirs. But actually, he would go and spend his time out sleeping with them. He was there to protect them, to help the ewes as they gave birth, and to have any orphan or rejected lambs adopted by mothers, or even rear them himself. This was really hands-on. And I know about him from his eldest daughter, who happened to be my grandfather. My grandfather? Hey, she was my grandmother. That's my great-grandfather. So this was a point of a life of sacrifice for him and his family. You know, spending that time out. Well, actually, it might be a bit of peace if you've got 14 kids going out. But it was not to the point of laying down his life. And now Jesus here was talking to the Pharisees amongst them. If you just go back a few verses, it's at the end of chapter 9. He said, some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this. And if they heard Jesus talking about being a shepherd, I think they would have immediately thought about King David, the writer of the Psalms and the Jews' greatest king. They believed that the Messiah, God's promised Saviour, would come from David's family. So if he's relating, saying he's the good shepherd, is he saying he's the Messiah? Now, this is perhaps one of the most well-known pieces of scripture and passages throughout the Bible, whether it's sung or said. We've just sung a version of it. It talks about the Lord being the good shepherd, the Lord being our shepherd, the Lord, the King, God, Yahweh, which is the Jewish phrase. He knew about the needs they had for water and for good grass. And this was in a land where these were scarce and precious resources. It wasn't just going out onto the heath like we've had this summer, where the grass has held up really well. It would actually be a struggle to find that precious grass. And the land was the home of the wild animals as well, wolves, bears, lions. And the shepherd kept them safe. Even when death seemed near, he would protect them. But Jesus goes even further. He talks about laying down his life for his sheep. He says, I know them by name. And he says, and I will lay down my life for you. He's speaking directly about his own death. He was a sinless man in a direct relationship with his Father, the Lord God, but he willingly chose to be obedient and be killed in our place by his death on the cross. He says, no one takes it from me, but I lay my life down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Our sins separated us from God, but by his death, Jesus paid the penalty, and we can be in relationship with Father God. He took up his life again. He rose from the death, and that path to reconciliation was complete. He spoke about this, but what was the reaction? The people said, well, this is mad. He's mad. He's demon-possessed, raving mad. But others saying, you know, could that be true? But it was only a short time later when he was crucified and 3 days later rose again and was seen by many, many, many people. The disciples knew he was speaking the truth. So today I challenge you, will you accept him as your good shepherd? He knows you by name. Will you acknowledge that and let him be your Lord? If you've never done this before and want to talk about this further, please come afterwards, have a chat to me, to Alex, Fiona, or one of the ministry team over coffee. And there's a puzzling questions course coming up soon, which you can, as a time to come and answer more questions. But Jesus was the good shepherd who laid down his life for each one of you. He knows you by name. James, Betty, Hillary. I was looking when you start doing it. He knows each of you. Judy, Matthew, Tim. He knows you by name. Will you accept that relationship with him? Amen.